Hey everyone, my name is Dave Hudgens. Thanks for checking out one of our sermons today. Hey listen, we're so glad that you are here and we want to connect with you and your family. One of the easiest ways to do that is by texting the word River Church to 97,000. There you can ask questions, submit prayer requests, or even support the church financially. At the end of the day, we just want to connect with you and be a blessing any way that we can. You can also visit us at our website at theriverchurch.cc to learn more about us and what we have going on as a church. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope that you are blessed by today's message.
Psalm 90. The Bible says, a prayer of Moses, the man of God. Moses is one of those great heroes and titans of the faith. His story is in the Old Testament, primarily in the book of Exodus. And it tells the story of how God would use this incredible man to free his people from slavery, lead them across the parted Red Sea to the base of Mount Sinai. God's actual presence would descend on that mountain, and Moses would walk up into that mountain to meet with God. And the Bible says he met with God face to face, as a friend meets with a friend, just an extraordinary person. Here, Psalm 90 gives us a prayer that Moses prayed. And Moses lived generations before David or Asaph, the guys who wrote many of the Psalms. And so this is likely to be the oldest psalm in the book of Psalms. Moses is called there the man of God. He is called that multiple times in the Old Testament, once in the book of Joshua, once in the book of Ezra. He's the man of God. Without doubt, Moses' life, although it was imperfect, Moses belonged to God. He was a man who belonged to the Lord. Just as a pause here before we jump into the psalm, as a man, who do you belong to? What is the simple one-phrase summary of your life? For Moses, he is simply called the man of God. Let's look at his prayer, verse 1. Moses says, Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. That's a key phrase that we'll see repeated at the end of the psalm. You are God. One writer said, we are God's to command, though he is also ours to enjoy. Moses is praying to God and he's saying, you are God. You are the boss. You are Lord. You are the one who controls and commands our lives. You are God. Just before that, Moses says, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. So before time began, which is a major theme in Psalm 90, time. Before time began, Genesis says that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You and I know no other existence other than being in time. We cannot make time go faster. We cannot make time go any slower. We cannot stop time. We cannot reverse time. We are stuck as humans in perpetual forward motion at the same rate of time from the moment we are born to the moment we die. God, on the other hand, Moses said, is from everlasting to everlasting. So maybe here in the middle, we can imagine this is time. So here's the beginning of time, and we're moving forward in time. Before time began, God existed in eternity past. And when time comes to an end, God will still be there. So Moses says, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Isaiah, the prophet, says of God that he declares the end from the beginning. So God is not in time, God is outside of time. A.W. Tozer, great writer, in his wonderful book called Knowledge of the Holy, says that God appears at time's beginning is not too difficult to comprehend, but that he appears at the beginning and at the end of time simultaneously is not so easy to grasp, yet it is true. So God is outside of time, in existence, an awareness and understanding that we can only scratch the surface of understanding. Moses says, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. In verse 2, he says, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world. He says of God, not only are you God, not only are you eternal, but you're also the creator of all that we see. You formed the earth. You formed the world. You brought forth, you birthed the mountains. The mountains that are, you spoke them into being. And in verse 1, he says of God, you have been our dwelling place. In Moses' final sermon, his farewell to his people, he says in Deuteronomy 33:27, he says, the eternal God is your dwelling place. Again, A.W. Tozer says, since God is eternal, he can continue forever to be the one safe home for his time-driven children. I hope that you are encouraged by that. Because as the scripture says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, you have an eternal home. And that home is not just heaven. That home is with the Lord. That is the dwelling place that we have. Verse 3. Moses says, you return man to dust. You say, return, O children of man, for 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night. A watch in the night, a 3 or 4 hour period of nighttime. Verse 5, you sweep them, meaning mankind, you sweep them away as with a flood. They are like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and is renewed. In the evening it fades and withers. For we are brought to an end by your anger, by your wrath. We are dismayed. Look at the contrast in the end of verse 2 to verse 3. God is from everlasting to everlasting, but in verse 3, mankind is rightly associated with dust. So temporal, so fleeting. Hold your spot in Psalm 90 and go back to the first book of the Bible, Genesis. Genesis chapter number 2. Genesis 2:7. Genesis 2:7. Here is the creation account of day 6. Then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature. Here is God scooping up dirt from the ground molding it and shaping it, and that is what humanity is made of. Sin comes into the world in chapter 3. Go over to Genesis chapter 3, now in verse number 19. Sin comes in. The beauty, the perfection that God had created is marred, is destroyed by sin. And part of the punishment, verse 19, God says directly to the man, "By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return." Let's go back to Psalm 90. God is from everlasting to everlasting. Humanity is just dust. Psalm 103:14 says, "For he knows our frame, he remembers that we are dust." Easily swept away. Easily forgotten. I was chatting with one of my friends a couple weeks ago, and he said there's a tombstone of a man whose last name is famous in this area, and the tombstone has fallen on the ground, grass has covered it up, and there's only a handful of people that know where it even is. Temporal, fleeting, dust. The contrast couldn't be more stark. It couldn't be more different. Verse 4, Moses says, "A thousand years in your sight are but as yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night." Peter even quotes this in 2 Peter 3. He says that with the Lord, one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. For us, a thousand years is hard to even wrap our brains around. And yet the Bible is saying for God, that's similar to like a day. At the end of our hallway, as I come out of my room at my house, there's a clock. And below that is the day, the month, and the date. And we'll switch these little metal things there. Frankly, it's an annoying decoration to have to change every single day of the year. But I change it and I come out and it reminds me. And this week I thought, where has June gone? Like, wow, we're almost done with June. That's depressing. That means December is coming. Darkness is going to fall on us again. It's just fleeting. The Bible says a thousand years is like that to God. So different. He is from everlasting to everlasting. We are just dust. Verse 8. Moses says, "You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence." So God, you know that we're just dust. We've sinned against you. We are not eternal. Floods come. Our life is but a dream. It's so fleeting. It's beautiful like grass in the morning. That's kind of the sun is shining this morning. The fog across the field is beautiful. It's wonderful. But the heat will come maybe in August and dry up the grass and it will be brown. It's here. It's beautiful. It's gone in just a few weeks. That's our life. And we are also filled with sin. Verse 9, "For all our days pass away under your wrath. We bring our years to an end like a sigh." The years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away. One of the privileges I have as a pastor is talking to people in their final days. it makes sometimes casual conversations at social functions, open houses, or weddings or parties a little heavier than people want, because a pastor is a little bit morbid because we deal with death so often. And it's not as if I'm super comfortable with it, but it is a common occurrence in my life to speak with and have conversations with people who are facing death. Moses wrote this 1,500 years before Jesus lived. So we're beyond 3,000 years ago. Moses penned this prayer to God. He said, God, lifespan is about 70 years. Some people might even by strength live up to 80 years. However long a person lives, they're going to have toil and trouble. It will go by quickly, and then they fly away. If you search right now for what is the life expectancy of human beings in 2026 in the United States, those are the numbers. Men's life expectancy is somewhere in the 70s. Women live a little bit longer because God's like, you dealt with that guy long enough, I'll spot you a few years, okay? So women get up into the early 80s a little bit. But that's it. I don't want to be morbid. I want to speak directly to folks that are sitting in this room or watching online who are in their 60s, 70s, 80s, and beyond. Somebody dies at 75, we go, it's not super old. It's not young. Moses says, it's soon gone. And he says in verse 12, because of that, because of the punishment of death, verse 11, who considers the power of your anger and your wrath according to the fear of you? So because of sin, we're all going to face physical death. So because of the temporal, very temporal, fleeting nature of life, verse 12, Moses says, so teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. Time, major theme in the book, or in this chapter. Verse 1 speaks of generations. Verse 2, from everlasting to everlasting. Verse 4 has years, yesterday, night. Verse 5 has morning. Verse 6, morning and evening. Verse 9, days and years. Verse 10, years. Verse 12, days. Verse 14, morning. Verse 15, days and years. Time. If you turn back one chapter to Psalm 89 in verse 47, the psalmist says, remember how short my time is. Go back a little further, Psalm 39. Psalm 39 and verse 4. O Lord, make me know my end and what is the measure of my days. Let me know how fleeting I am. Behold, you have made my days a few handbreadths, just a few measurements, and my lifetime is as nothing before you. Go back to Psalm 90. What's the prayer? The prayer is, God, you're eternal. I am not. My lifetime is not eternal. My lifetime is fleeting. You are from everlasting to everlasting. I am just dust. Lord, because of that, please don't let me waste my life. As a pastor, I see many people in their 50s, their ambition in life is to work real hard so they can do nothing. Yeah, I'm going to work real hard over the next 5 years, 10 years, and then just pickleball every day. There's nothing wrong with pickleball. Enjoy that. It's great. And it's like, really? That's the ambition of your heart. Because the reality is, if you reach 70, and this is not meant to be morbid or discouraging to anyone here who's 70, you are on borrowed time. And pickleball is how you want to spend those years? You know what older people, I'm not going to call you old, I'm going to call you older. You know what older people love to do? They love to demean the next generation. And you know what the next generation could use? Hanging out with a few 70 and 80 year olds. Who are saying, just a heads up, you just graduated high school, and before you know it, you're going to be 80. And you're going to go, what the heck happened? Everyone I talked to is 65, 70, 75. They go, that went quick. And the Bible says it over and over again. Your life is but a vapor. It's here one moment, and it is gone. Let me know how fleeting I am. You are just dust. And yet we have believers who love Jesus, who know that God is from everlasting to everlasting, listen to me, squandering your best years. Now, you may not have the energy of a 25-year-old. That's okay. But you have the wisdom that they don't. I am so thankful when I see older folks serving in our church. It brings me incredible joy. Every week, Bob Hawkins is at the door. Bob serves faithfully every week. My wife will tell me in her guest service meeting when she needs someone to pray, Bob is the first to volunteer. Bob has been part of this church for decades. Sometimes Bob has a hard time standing. But he still shows up. Don't be mad at me. Arlene is 80 and serves in student ministry. Something's wrong, I think. But how wonderful is that? She didn't cash it in. And I look around the room, and there are many of you. Yes, enjoy your years of retirement from having to go into the office or the shop every single day. Sleep in a little bit. Play pickleball. Golf. Go for a walk. But if you retire from ministry in the family of God, you are squandering a treasure. Because after 70, you're on borrowed time. So Moses says, verse 12, teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom. Paul says in Ephesians 5, making the best use of time because the days are evil. This isn't just for older folks. This is for every person sitting here who knows Jesus. How will you spend your life? Hold your spot in Psalms. Let's go to the New Testament. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. As a college student, I remember hearing this passage for the first time. First Corinthians 3, verse 10. Paul says, according to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building upon it. Paul says, what he did is he came and he laid the foundation of the gospel, the good news. The good news that Jesus died for our sin. Jesus was buried. Jesus rose from the dead. And it's through what Jesus did that we can, our sins can be forgiven and we can receive the gift of eternal life. So he's like, I came in and I laid that foundation. I preached the gospel. Romans 10, 9, if anyone confesses with their mouth that Jesus is Lord, believes in their heart God raised Jesus from the dead, they will be saved. That's the foundation. He says that's the base. He said, now other people are building on that. Let each one take care how he builds upon it. For no one can lay the foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and straw, each one's work, life, efforts, ambitions, will become manifest, for the day, and ESV capitalizes day because it's the day of judgment, will stand before God. That day will disclose it because it will be revealed by fire, and fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. Here's the visual. The foundation is the gospel. Have you come to know Christ? Have you confessed Jesus as Lord, believed in your heart God raised Jesus from the dead? Have you been saved? That's the foundation. Now, what are you doing with that? What are you building up with that? In verse number 12, you have different building materials. Some we know would last through fire, some would not. Gold, silver, precious stones, they're going to last through fire. Wood, hay, straw will not. The way that the man, when I was in college, laid it before us, he says, your whole life you're going to be standing there and everything you've done, all of your efforts, all of the things you've done will be sitting there in front of you. And it's if God comes over and he puts a torch to it, lights it on fire to see what lasts, to see what is eternal and what's there. I pause to think about my own life, but I hope that you will do the same for you. What is there? This isn't you get to go to heaven or you get to go to hell. These are people who know Jesus. The foundation is there. But their whole life after knowing Jesus was cardboard. Had zero eternal value. Let's go back to Psalm 90. Verse 12, Moses says, because of our fleeting nature, because life is so short, it's just a vapor. It's here one moment and it's gone the next. Teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. I don't mean to be too pointed, but maybe that's you walking out to guest service today saying, hey, I hear we have VBS this week. Sign me up. Maybe that's a young man or young woman in here saying, yeah, this was my ambition, but I want to spend my life serving in ministry. Sign me up. Because the houses, the cars, the money, the investment, it's all dust. Jump down to verse 17. We'll finish there. Moses says, let the favor of the Lord our God. So there's that bookend of the phrase. Verse 2, you have, you are our God. Now in verse 17, the Lord our God. So he's acknowledging who God is. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Hold your spot in Psalm 90. Go over to the Gospel of Luke. Luke 12. Moses says, God, you have always been faithful, creator, from everlasting to everlasting. And I am so fleeting, dust, like grass that grows up and withers. I'm gone so quickly. I've sinned against you my whole life. It's going to be 70 or 80 years. That's ballpark what man's time will be. Some will get a little more. Some will get a little less. It's fleeting. It's filled with trouble. God, teach me to number my days. Luke chapter 12, verse 16. And he told them a parable. This is Jesus. Saying, the land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, what shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. He said, I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. Now, you might want to pause here. The point of the parable is not the size of your barn. Okay? The rich man says, I'll tear those down, I'll build bigger ones, I'll store that all up, and I will say, verse 19, to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. I don't want to be mean to anybody, but that sounds like the American dream of retirement. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? Jesus says, so is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Here's the point, Psalm 90, here's the point that Jesus is making. We all have been allotted, given some time. Some a little more, some a little less. But if you're in this day, everyone's day has the same number of minutes. You don't get any more than I do. We all get the same amount of minutes. How will you spend them? Will you take what is temporary and transfer it into eternity? The money that you've been given. Some in the room have a little more, some in the room have a little less. God knows how much you have. God knows how much he can trust you with. Money is very temporary. Will you take what is temporary and transfer that investment into eternity? That's the question. Because you never know the night that your soul will be required of you. You never know. It could be tonight. And you'll stand before God with all of what you have invested in and constructed in. He'll light it on fire and let's see what lasts in eternity. Are you ready? It's a sobering thought. Maybe you're sitting here and you're not ready because you don't know the Lord. And you think, oh, I'll handle that in my 20s, my 30s, my 40s. And God might say to you tonight, fool, your soul is required tonight. Maybe you've never come to Christ. Maybe right here, right now, you need to confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. Believe in your heart, God raised Jesus from the dead. Maybe right now you need to be saved. Maybe you're sitting in here and you are saved. You know the Lord. But your whole life, the efforts, the ambition, the things that you wake up, dream about, and work towards have no eternal value. I pray that you'll repent to the Lord of that and seek him and say, Lord, how can I take what is temporary, my life, my money, all that I have, and invest it into eternal things? Let's pray together. Jesus, thank you for your word. God, I often spend so much energy and time on pointless things. God, I think about the song that I listen to sometimes. I am trying to build kingdoms to myself and influence for myself, and it's a sandcastle. God, it's the people. It's building, training, investing in disciples. Thank you for the reminder of that this week, Lord. In Jesus' name.